This sermon was preached the last Sunday after the Epiphany, February 19th, 2023, at the Episcopal Church of the Ascension. It's entitled The Hero's Journey, Transfiguration into Wholeness of Love. Christ before us, Christ beside us, Christ within us, light the way home. Amen. Two Sundays ago, people gathered downstairs in the parish hall to discuss actress Viola Davis's memoir, Finding Me. Earlier that same day, Davis became an EGOT. She is one of only 18 people in history to have earned an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award. The missing link was the Grammy, and Sunday, February 5th, the missing piece fell into place. She won the Grammy for her reading of her own memoir, Finding Me. When she received the award, she shared that she wrote the book for her six-year-old Viola self. She wrote the book to give voice to her life, her experiences, her trauma, and the wholeness she has found. For those of you who haven't read it, I highly recommend listening to it. It's intense. It doesn't back down from the raw honesty of what life was really like for her growing up. The 1-2 punch of racism and poverty, the hunger, the abuse, the witnessing of abuse, the daily fear, the shame. One day while on a movie set, Davis had an aha moment. During a filming break, Will Smith asked her, "Viola, who are you?" She responded with indignant confidence, "What does that mean? I know who I am." But Smith pushed on, "No, but who are you?" He said, "I'm always going to be that 15-year-old boy whose girlfriend broke up with him. That's always going to be me. So who are you?" She got quiet, and the haunting memory of being 8 years old arose. She said, "I'm the little girl who would run after school every day in third grade because these boys hated me, because I was not pretty, because I was black." Will Smith stared at her as if seeing her for the first time, and just nodded. He likely was seeing her for the first time because it was likely the first time she really let herself be seen. Davis writes that she had all the brawn in the world at this point in her life, but had not mastered the courage part. "This is the memory that defined me," she said, "more than the bedwetting, poverty, hunger, sexual abuse, and domestic violence. It was a powerful memory because it was the first time my spirit and heart were broken. I defined myself by the fear and rage of those boys. I felt ugly. I felt unwanted, even by God. Unwanted, even by God." Whenever Viola Davis does a presentation, she titles it the same, The Journey of a Hero. She shares in the introduction what she learned from writer Joseph Campbell, that a hero is someone born into a world where they don't fit in. They're summoned on a call to an adventure that they are reluctant to take. What is the adventure? A revolutionary transformation of self. The final goal is the elixir, the magic potion that is the answer to unlocking the true self. Then one comes home to this ordinary life transformed and shares their story of survival with others. So Finding Me is Viola Davis's life story of coming home to her ordinary life transformed, sharing her story with all of us. Today is the last Sunday after the Epiphany as we begin Lent this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. But let's go back first. January 6th, we always celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany makes the aha moment of the three wise men who make a hero's journey. They follow a bright star to encounter the Messiah in the flesh. All these Sundays after the Epiphany, we journey along the life of Jesus with the light of that bright star continuing to illuminate who Jesus is. In many ways, the season tucked between Christmastide and Lent is a finding Jesus, discovering who he is, what he's about, and beginning to discover our relationship to him. We are finding the essence of Jesus' identity. The first Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear about the baptism of Jesus. We witness the Trinity dancing together in this sacred moment of baptism. Jesus in the water of the Jordan River with John the Baptist, the presence of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, the voice of God articulating the deepest meaning of this moment, offering words of Jesus' truest identity. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The second Sunday, we heard John the Baptist testify to Jesus' identity. John holds great significance in how the Holy Spirit illuminates Jesus' identity as the Son of God, because not only did the Spirit descend upon him in his baptism, but the Spirit remained on him. The third Sunday, the Gospel acknowledges that the presence of Jesus had brought the kingdom of God near, and Jesus begins to call disciples to follow him so they can fish for people together. The fourth Sunday, Jesus goes up on a mountain and illuminates who is blessed. The first four are blessed upon those who are oppressed, those who are desperate. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who have been humbled by society, those who are famished and thirst for justice. And then he shares there are blessings for those who respond to those who are oppressed. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for the sake of justice. Jesus is illuminating who he honors, who God honors, who we are called to honor, and who we are called to walk alongside of so that all of creation is brought into wholeness. The fifth Sunday, Jesus reminds us to be salt and light. Let your light shine before others so that they may see and give glory to your Father in heaven. It is an acknowledgement of how God has lit a light within each of us, and our role is to let that light shine before others so as to draw them home to God. The sixth Sunday, Jesus reminds us of the boundaries God has given us. My son Aiden and I talk about structure and flow. When we adhere to the structure and boundaries God has given us, there can be optimum flow in the Spirit. We are called to honor and respect these structures so the light might beam from us more brightly. And here we are this Sunday, the last Sunday after the Epiphany. Jesus has taken Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And right there on that mountain, Jesus is transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. It's as if that bright star at the Epiphany drops down from the sky and falls within the body of Jesus. In that moment, all the light from heaven and earth are held within flesh. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah are speaking with him. Peter and James and John can see between worlds. They are both in this world and simultaneously witnessing the liminal space where Jesus is speaking with those who have gone before into eternal life. Peter gets busy wanting to memorialize the moment when a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice utters the same words we heard at Jesus' baptism, a reminder of the essence of Jesus' identity. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then words are added, listen to him. The disciples fall to the ground and were overcome by fear. Jesus, in all his compassion, comes and touches them and says, get up and do not be afraid. At the end of Davis's memoir, she tells of a story where she's 9 years old and her parents are fighting and it's terrifying. Her father is literally trying to break her mother's legs. And Viola runs to the bathroom and she falls on her knees in front of the toilet and she screams, God! If you love me, you will take me from this place. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to close my eyes and count to 10. And when I open them, I better be gone or I will know you don't exist. 1, 2, 3. She keeps her eyes shut, really believing God is going to take her. 8, 9, 10. Silence. She opens her eyes. She was still there, alone, aware of her aloneness. And she says softly, I knew you didn't exist. As she's telling the story years later, she told Edwina, God did take me. Davis is standing there with Edwina. Edwina, a believer in God and God's power, and Viola, a believer, but not a believer in her worthiness. But the magical alchemy of Edwina's presence and the power of that question was forcing her to acknowledge this big boulder of truth, she says. He took me on his terms, she said, discovering it for the first time. This was her moment. The moment when she heard in the depths of her soul, this is my daughter, Viola, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. If you watch the clip of Davis winning the Grammy, you see a woman owning her story, claiming her belovedness in God. Her face is beaming with holy inner light. Evidence of how God catalyzed all that pain, all that trauma, that little girl running away from those brutal boys, God catalyzed all that pain and trauma into holy light that now beams from within, lighting the way for others. Because see, the hero's journey is always a journey with God, a journey of coming home to God in the depths of our being. It's a journey of opening ourselves to discover the words God has already bestowed and keeps uttering, utter grace for each of us. This is my daughter. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The elixir is accepting and fully receiving God's love, so much so that it touches and fills every fiber and cell of our being, so much so that we are transfigured. We radiate the holy light. It is the surrender of all the ways we have ever gotten our love, our protection, our safety, our survival, from our egos, from our own schemes, from our parents' expectation and society's expectations of us. The hero's journey is the great surrender to God, the receiving and embodiment of God's love. It is never for our sake only. It is always for the glory of God and the ripple effect for our neighbors. Jesus' transfiguration begs the question of all of us. Are we taking the hero's journey to receive God's love and allow our beings to be fully illumined by our loving God so as to light the way home for others? Amen. If you'd like to meditate live together, join me on Friday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on Insight Timer. You can go to insighttimer.com/ccvogel to find the link to meditate live together Friday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. If you live in the Knoxville area, I highly recommend you checking out the website spiritusknox.com. That's spiritusknox.com for lots of upcoming events, including retreats and weekly Sunday evening offerings, including Breathing Under the Stained Glass, which is always the second Sunday evening of the month. So the next one will be Sunday, March 2nd from 5 to 6 p.m. at Church of the Ascension in the Sanctuary. Engaging our breath in holy ways can not only lead to benefits for our physical health, it can also help us attune to the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, as well as to better connect with our own heart, our body, our soul, and our spirit. Breathing together in community can be a delightful gift of finding ease in our lives with others who are trying to do the same. So join us. You can always reach out to me by email as well at caroline@knoxvilleascension.org. caroline@knoxvilleascension.org. I look forward to meditating with you on Insight Timer or worshiping with you on a Sunday morning or any number of events on Sunday evening to benefit your soul and your spirit. Hope to see you soon.